Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I will be sitting in once again this evening for Pastor Curtis McMiller. I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. Tonight's message is a special one, and we will pick up again in our continuing studies in the book of James in a few short weeks. But as we welcome in 2025 with our first broadcast, we will be continuing the message from last week entitled The Old Account, with this study I call The New Ledger. Tonight, friends, we will be examining the scriptural qualities of those past saints whose faith, service, and works were counted as righteous in the sight of God, and expound upon those attributes one should strive after who would desire in this new year to begin anew, renew, or revitalize their service to our Lord and King. We hopefully will come to understand that it is God's desire that by your example and testimony others might come to understand what authentic Christianity is, and just as importantly, what it isn't. We're going to open our study tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where we will examine our first point and credit one should add to their ledger, faith. For the sake of time, we're just going to examine a few of these examples of faith and their supreme value in the life of one who would follow and serve Christ Jesus. Looking at our first three verses, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Here we have a definition of faith given by two equal measures, the substance of those things hoped for, and the firm expectation that God will uphold his promises, and to be of such a strong persuasion that he will do so, that one who obtains solid faith can be filled with joy even amidst trials and troubles. Friends, I do wish to make something abundantly clear in tonight's message. Understand that these traits or habits that we're going to be expounding upon this evening are not attributes that are quickly or easily obtained. Rather, these are the pure ideals that we should aspire to and strive towards. The Christian's walk is best considered a marathon rather than a sprint. And we should not be discouraged if we struggle or if these traits and ideals at times seem distant. I know, friends, in my walk I think I may have stumbled as much as I have stood, but I am reassured by two selections of Scripture in particular, the first found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, as it is written, "Not as though I had already attained, rather were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As well as those familiar words of wisdom found in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. "For a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." These assure me that though I have stumbled, and though I may struggle, and on occasion fall short, I am only defeated when I refuse to rise again, to cease to strive, and praise be to God he has allowed me to find the strength to rise time and again, and I have a sure and definite faith that you too can find that strength, if you call out to God, if you desire him above all else. What can stay the mighty hand of the one who has conquered death and hell, and who even now sits enthroned with the Father in glory, making tireless intercession for those who would enthrone him upon their hearts? Amen. Tonight's message is not designed to be one of condemnation, friends, rather one of encouragement and edification to all, wherever you may be in your walk with our Lord. Now returning now to Hebrews chapter 11, picking up in verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him," that is God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. We are then given the example of Noah in verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And we look at Abraham in verses 8 through 10. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skipping ahead, we have Moses in verses 24 through 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. By faith, Noah found favor with God, and because he had an active and consistent faith, saved not only himself, but indeed all of those of his house. Abraham had such faith that he believed upon the promises of God, and such was imputed unto him as righteousness, and was indeed called a friend of God. And finally, Moses rose up content not with his position in the house of Pharaoh. He followed, and trusting in God, communed directly with him, and brought forth an entire people out of bondage, and was counted worthy to lead them unto that promised land that overflowed with milk and honey. How is your faith tonight, friends? Whether it is at the bottom of the barrel, or if your cup overfloweth, we should always strive for a greater investment in the growth and increase in our faith, and such is accomplished most easily by the study to and listening of God's holy word. Amen? The next trait we will explore this evening is consistency. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe, and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Understand, it is not uncommon for someone to walk into a church and declare that they wish to perform extraordinary service unto the Lord. What unfortunately isn't as common are those people then showing faithfulness and consistency to small things before waiting to be entrusted with greater. Such should not be, friends. While we greatly need leaders to step forward in ministry, those who would do so must understand that they should not be discouraged if the pastor of the church should first desire to see them faithful and consistent in things like regular attendance, evangelism, corporate prayer, Bible study, and even just the willingness to provide the upkeep and maintenance that the church house and the ministry requires. These things are the fundamental roots of consistency. Not only does this help encourage those who are currently in leadership positions, but it ensures that there be no discrepancy in understanding or doctrine from that which is given in the Holy Scriptures, and that of an individual's personal beliefs, which may be an error. We know that while Scripture has many application, it has only one true interpretation. Amen? Remember, if one who is given charge to teach should inadvertently lead others to error, that person shall be held to greater accounting by our Lord. Those who aspire to do great service must be battle-tested and fully invested, and the evidence of faith and consistency in your ledger be of more value than many vain words, boasts, or platitudes. Amen. One additional note on the subjects of faith and consistency. I have often witnessed over the years those who have obtained positions of authority within the church struggling with burnout. And most often the cause of that burnout is being too frustrated and focused on others' walks and of their congregations not living up to their perceived calling in Christ. We must steel ourselves against this discouragement, friends. If you feel that others are not shining as brightly as they could or should, then my advice to you is to strive to shine even more brightly in your own walk, that the light that shines forth encourages the burning away of the dross that may plague our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Our service is rendered not unto men, but unto God. Fortify those who struggle, not with condemnation, rather edification, love, and encouragement. Amen. The final, though equally important asset I'd like to encourage those who would serve our Lord to strive after in our ledgers tonight is humility. Humility. Quickly now, look with me, if you would, at Colossians 3:12-13. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowls of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. See also Philippians chapter 2, verses 1-5. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowls and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Friends, I'm afraid we're out of time, but any words of my own wisdom I could add to that which is written, and we've just read, would likely sound hollow in my own ears against the wisdom that the Lord has already provided. So I think tonight we'll leave it at that. Amen. In closing, I hope these studies have helped you purpose in your heart what you might aspire to in service to our King in the coming year. Now, as our Lord's return is imminent, we need men and women who are willing to take a stand for our Lord, men and women who have heard that clarion call from on high, summoning the saints and soldiers to hold the fort, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Tonight, friends, if your spirit rejoices in God's word, won't you step forward by faith? Won't you commit to drawing up a new ledger that multiplies the glory of God? Beloved, won't you answer the call?